Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny for Monday, August 21st, 2017. I'm your host and the author of the book Destiny Awaits, The Pouring Out of Wisdom for Humanity to Drink, Lisa M. Saunders, coming to you from Owings Mills, Maryland. And this broadcast is being sponsored by Masterminds LLC, inspiring and empowering people to achieve a greater destiny. Once again, we are super excited this evening about being with you and to be able to share love and wisdom with the desire to uplift, inspire, motivate, and empower you to live a more peace-filled, joyful, and loving life. So to receive and download this podcast, simply go to the iTunes store, click the podcast, and type in A Date with Destiny. You can also receive it via my website at yourdestinyawaits.net or simply by Googling us, Blog Talk Radio, A Date with Destiny. You can also follow us on Twitter at Leaf101. That's Leaf101, L-Y-S-E-101. If you would like to become a sponsor or to get more exposure for your literary work or business, you can send a message via my website, info@yourdestinyawaits.net, or via my Facebook page, facebook.com/A Date with Destiny 101. So, as I stated in the last couple of weeks, it feels so good to be back. We took a little summer break. We are back, well-rested, rejuvenated, and excited to be once again sharing with our listeners information from people of all walks of life that we believe will inspire, motivate, and empower you. We are so happy to be in our fifth year of broadcasting and can't wait to share some really good stuff we have coming up for the rest of this season. So tonight's show is going to be amazing. We have joining us this evening Mr. Don Lawrence. Don is no stranger to A Date with Destiny. He was actually with us 5 years ago, and now he's back to share with us what he's been doing since then. So it's kind of surreal and awesome to have him come back. He was with us in my first year. Now he's back in the fifth. So this is just going to be a great show to hear what he's been up to since then. As a motivational speaker and author, Don Lawrence uses his life's experiences to provide mentorship to those looking for inspiration through his books and speeches. He recently signed a publishing deal to co-write the forthcoming book titled Ready, Set, Go, published by Celebrity Press, which is tentatively scheduled for release in fall of 2017. Don Lawrence is an accomplished entrepreneur since the age of 19 and an over-the-top husband, father, and grandfather. He lives in Freeland, Maryland, where he and his wife enjoy their 26-acre farm. He is the proud father of an adult son and an adult daughter who have blessed him with a daughter-in-law, son-in-law, a 10-year-old grandson, and an 8-month-old granddaughter. And she is adorable because I've seen pictures. Professionally, Don is known mostly for his contracting business, and real estate development ventures. In addition, Don provides mentoring as a real estate coach and enjoys motivational public speaking. With Don's focus on health, he is a certified fitness trainer and a recreational bodybuilder. So, without further ado, A Date with Destiny would like to welcome back Mr. Don Lawrence to the show. Hello, Don. How are you today?
Hi, Lisa. It's very nice to be back. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, thank you. Did you realize that you were actually on the show 5 years ago?
You know, it's amazing how fast time flies. And I'll tell you, when you have grandchildren, it even flies faster. The 8 months Clara's been here, it's been crazy. But, yeah, it's amazing. I remember it just seemed like yesterday. It just clicked by, like, just so fast.
Yeah, it really did. Well, we are excited and happy to have you back with us. And I know that you had a lot going on since you were last here. But before we get into that, let me ask you this. Did you have a chance to witness the solar eclipse today?
You know, it was funny. I stood outside, and I didn't have the glasses, so I took to myself, well, if you take your phone and put it on selfie mode and kind of look over your shoulder, you can see it. So you know what happens when you do that? You're tempted to peek up to look at it. Sure enough, I ran in and got the darkest glasses I could, peeked up real quick, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, I think I'm blind.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did peek at it, but I – I'm fine. And the glasses weren't really the appropriate glasses, but I only got a really quick peek, so it was okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, we don't want you to lose your sight, Don. We don't want you to lose your
That's
sight.
Right.
So, Don, I want to set the tone for this interview so people can hear your story from the beginning and get a sense of how far you've come and, more importantly, how you have triumphed by not letting health issues keep you down. Your story, mm-hmm. to me, is one of heroism. And it's a true story of, like, the phoenix rising from the ashes and just, you know, you win. You conquer that thing, you know, and you're a winner. You won at the end. So let's start talking about how you were able to overcome the physical and, most importantly, the mental aspect of what your health condition and exactly what that is, actually.
Okay. Great. In 1988, I was diagnosed with having ulcerative colitis, and mm-hmm. it's a disease in your colon. Eventually, after 4 years of having it, I've always been a person that's been a study of the mind. I read books on positive thinking, self-development, so I move in that direction constantly. So during the time that I had this disease that was plaguing me, I didn't really know how bad it was. So finally, after 4 years, it got so bad that I ended up in a hospital. I remember my wife asking the doctor, if he doesn't have the surgery, how long does he have to live? And he said, he's lucky if he's got 2 weeks. And of course, I'm a person that loves humor. And I said to the doc, well, can I have a week to think about this? You know, and we just laughed about it, because the reality is, it was pretty serious. Had my bowel perforated, I would have ended up in sepsis and probably would have died as a result of having the complication of the disease. So finally, mm-hmm. it got so bad that the doctor said, you got to have a surgery. So I said, okay, let's go ahead and do this. But I want the listeners to really understand this. From the moment the doctor told me I had to have it done, I finally come to the conclusions in my mind that that was the only way it would be better to live with an ostomy than to live without one. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's having a bag on your side. And at that time, you mentioned that I was a recreational bodybuilder. I was actually training for the Mr. Annapolis contest, and I think I would have placed well. I was about 183 pounds of solid muscle, and I was about 6% body fat. And I was in best shape of my life, but I had this disease that was plaguing me, and I ended up in the hospital, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. From that moment on, I said to my wife, I said, would you do me a favor, bring my guitar up to the hospital, because I was a lead guitar player and I played in a worship band, and I wanted to make sure that where they were going to make the intestine on my body come out on my stomach, that it wasn't going to interfere with how my guitar hangs on my back. And I marked it with a marker, and I said to the doctor, can I mark it? He said, yes. So that in itself is really a testimony to the fact that I began living with the challenge of an ostomy immediately when I decided I was going to go do it. I didn't go mm-hmm. back and say, I'm going to die with this thing, I'm going to live with it, because there are many people that may have the challenge of having a bag, and the way they think about it, they put themselves in a dark room and will themselves to an early grave. And my encouragement mm-hmm. is now that to realize it is just a thing, just as you see many people come back from war and car accidents and things where they might have to wear prostheses or whatever, and they learn to do and learn to live life to its fullest, no matter what those challenges are.
Yes. Now, Don, again, tell us what year that was. How long ago was this?
I developed the disease in 1988, and in 1992, I was 32 years old, and I had the surgery then. So it's been, what, 25 years?
Wow.
And I've lived with the bag fine, and I live a full life. I mean, I do you wouldn't believe me, man. With the farm here, I'm constantly, and I don't actually farm the farm. We have a farm that plants the corn and stuff, but I'm always working out here. In fact, we bought a new four-wheel vehicle for fun, and I spent the last weekend on a tractor cutting all these trails back in the woods. And, you know, so I get out there and lift boards and cut wood with chainsaws, and of course I own a contracting business. So I do pretty much, I live a better life today with no pain than when I had all the pain when I was dealing with the disease. So I'm so thankful that we have doctors there that will, that were there to take care of this problem, and I'm living a great life.
Yes, that's pretty amazing. That is amazing. What was the moment? Do you remember? Well, I know that you do, but share with us like that exact moment when you decided that you were just going to do this. Like, you know, just can you describe to us that moment in detail?
Well, I think it got so bad that I it was funny because I resisted having the surgery because I was proud. I didn't want, I mean, I spent all this time getting this great body that had the six-pack abs and everything was going to disappear overnight. And I was really upset about it. And I said, they're not going to do this to me. They can let me die first. So I went home, and 3 days later, I was rushed back in the hospital. And I realized, I finally said, Doc, I can't take the pain anymore. Let's just get it done. From that moment on, I had to come to a place in my own thinking that this is the way life is going to be. So I often will say that life as I knew it was now gone, but life as I now know it will live on. And I decided to just move on and live with this and learn to deal with it. And I got to tell you, it's not bad at all. It's like, I mean, it's really, you know, we've been so blessed. And that's where the book Tragedy's Gift comes from, to really look at all the gifts that come with this tragedy. I mean, the ostomy supplies that I have and the gift of timing, and I can talk a little more about that as we go on through the show, if you like. But it was just a moment in time that said, you know what, I'm going to live, and I'm going to live well, and this is not going to take me, and I'm going to enjoy my life. There are people with things that are worse than what I have. I can certainly get over this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And one of the you said a lot of profound things in your statement, but one that sticks out for me is that you made a choice. You had a decision to make, and you made a choice, and you chose life. And I just want people to hear that, because a lot of times people think they don't have choices, but you actually do. And once you make up your mind, you know, then that's it. Then the universe conspires, you know, to help make that happen. And we're both witnesses to that. Yeah. So, so before I go on, because I want to, you know, keep going, because you just, you, to me, you are an amazing person. I mean, I just want to let everybody know, I think Don is just absolutely amazing. I mean, he is someone who just always, he's moving. He's always moving. You know what you remind me of? Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is what you remind me of. Don reminds me of the Tasmanian devil. Okay, not the fact that he's a devil. But do you remember that character, that cartoon character that's like whizzing around?
Oh, I love
around
that cartoon,
and he's here,
yeah.
He's there. That, and that's a good thing, because you don't stay still. You just, you know, you're always on the move. You're always doing something productive. You have a wonderful family, and I want to, let's just go back a minute, because you said, I heard you say corn. Do you grow corn on your farm?
I don't, but I do have a farmer that does corn, and then he does corn and soybean every year. They rotate the crop.
Oh,
yeah, it's awesome
okay.
having a corn field for your front yard. It's really an amazing gift.
Yeah.
I think they're so blessed to have this place. We love it so much. It's a great place to live.
You've been holding back on me, Don, because I don't know if it's Silver Queen corn, but I love corn on the cob. So anyway, we'll talk about that after the show. Okay, so moving forward, I just wanted to let everyone know, kind of give them an idea of just how awesome you are, and how you just did not allow your circumstances to cancel out your future. All of your future possibilities. And so having said that, when did you start your real estate and contracting business? So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, in 1980, I was actually raised in a family of carpenters. My dad was a carpenter, grandfather, uncles, and everybody. And interestingly enough, my great-grandfather was a farmer. So the Lawrence family on the men's side have always worked with their hands and earned their living by the sweat of their brow, if you will. And so I just had a knack for the working with my tools, and I just started a contract business in 1980. I was 20 years old, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was just pretty good with tools. So I did one job that landed in another job, and literally within 24 months, we were doing about $65,000 worth of business per month, and I still didn't know what I was doing in terms of the business. But you live and learn, and you grow, and you know. And some people go to school and learn it in the classroom. I was learning it in real life, and that was the way it was taught to me, you know. And so I did the business for, but during that time, which kind of meshes or kind of merges into how I got started in real estate, I often love to tell the story that, you know, I was, when I was a little kid, I mean, when I was in fourth grade, I couldn't read, and I couldn't comprehend what I was reading. And I read a book that was called The Magic of Thinking Big, and I stumbled on that book. It was written by a guy named David Swartz, an author by David Swartz, and I found this book in an old Amway box that was underneath the stairs under some dusty old newspapers, and I got it out. For some reason, I decided to read it. And I'd never tried to read a book before because, like I say, when I was in fourth grade, I just couldn't comprehend it. And I found that I was interested in the subject matter, and I realized I could have, be, and do anything I wanted if I believed it and set a direction and decided to take action on it. And I just started developing the ability to read these type of books. And so I got really into that, and that kind of like I started going to seminars about real estate, learning how to buy houses and so on. I remember sitting on the arm of the chair, and I was listening to the gentleman on the TV talking about he's going to teach us how to buy real estate with no money. And I thought, boy, this is going to work out great because I ain't got any. You know? So I went to the seminar, and I remember sitting on the front seat because one of the things it said in The Magic of Thinking Big was be a front seater. And listen to this gentleman, he was saying words like amateurization to third place or second place, and he was using words, and he said something profound. He said, if you buy a house in the summer, the price will freeze, meaning don't be surprised something's going to go wrong. And so I really wanted to speak like this guy spoke. I wanted to really do what he was doing, but I started really understanding real estate. And unlike a lot of people will go to these seminars and they'll listen to what somebody has to say, they'll buy the books and the CDs. I always say he was going to be my mentor for the low price of $179.95 for 8 cassette tapes. And when I got out in the car, I ripped open the cellophane wrapper and stuck a tape in the dashboard. I've actually had recently someone had given me a bunch of tapes. They had gone to one of the seminars, and they had these books and CDs for almost 3 years and never cracked them open. How are you going to do anything if you don't get the education? And so I started doing that, and they were telling me just to do – I followed the instructions, and I started learning how to do real estate. Literally within 6 months of going to that seminar, I bought my first property. This is back in 1980 now. It was a different time of the world. But I bought a house in Baltimore at the Inner Harbor area for $5,000, and I bought it with no money down. And I sold it 2 weeks later because at that time I really didn't have any credit. I was young and didn't really know what I was doing. But I had the banker actually gave me a $10,000 check for that property. So we had a $10,000 check in our pocket. And, of course, you know, you live and learn, and, you know, I should have invested that in other real estate, but I bought a car and went on vacation, so I rewarded myself. But I learned some lessons on every single transaction, and I'd like to tell a quick story about you, Lisa, because you are in large part responsible for me today flipping houses, because for those of you who listen, when we first met, I actually met a friend of yours. It was in a doctor's office, and she was reading Jack Campbell's Chicken Soup for the Soul. And it always intrigued me why people read what they read. And I spoke to her for a few moments, and she said, you know, you've got to meet my group of people. And she introduced me to you and some of the other friends that were involved in some other type businesses. And you said to me that night, you said, Don, you know what you're supposed to be doing. And you asked me, at that time I was selling prepaid legal services, and you said, why are you doing what you're doing? You know what you're supposed to be doing. And you were referring to at that time about speaking and writing, and you really encouraged me in that area. But I said, well, I really like real estate. You said you do what you're supposed to be doing. So from that meeting, I decided to put the sale of prepaid legal services that I was selling at the time down and reinvestigate the real estate. And one day I got up in the morning, and I love to tell the story this way. I looked in the mirror, and I saw Don Lawrence staring at me. The next day, I saw a real estate investor standing there. And I stepped into the person I thought I was, and I began to act in a way that a real estate investor would act. Literally within 6 days, I raised $1.2 million in cash from a doctor investor to invest in real estate. And I think it was 6 weeks after that. This is like 8 weeks after you and I had the conversation. We made $58,000 on our first investment, and it only took 6 weeks to. It's a 90-day turnover. But we made six weeks to fix the house, and I made $58,000 between the two of us. You know, but on that one conversation that you and I had, sitting in that Panera Bread in Glen Burnie, and just from you encouraging me to move that direction. And literally turned it into a business where I think Doc and I probably turned over about almost $500,000 in profit in about 30 months between the two of us.
My. And, you know, I kind of forgot about that. But now that you said it, you're bringing it all back to me. And I remember also saying to you, you ready for this? I also remember saying, you have to let go of the good to get to the great.
Yep, you did.
Remember
you
that?
Sure
you have to let go of the good to get to the great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, you know, that is amazing within itself because one of the things I love about you, you do not let grass grow, okay? You do not let grass grow under your feet. Once you get it, and it doesn't take long for you to get it, you're one of those people. And everybody, to me, I look at that as a gift. Because everybody doesn't move that quickly and they don't grasp it that quickly, but you do. And once you got it, we sat in that Panera Bread and we had that conversation. And once you got it, it was like I saw the light bulb go off. I saw the light behind your eyes. And it was like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be amazing. Well, you were already amazing. But, you know,
thank you.
You just continue.
You were definitely
and
good
I
for
like,
my ego.
Oh, well, you know, hey, what are friends for, right?
Absolutely.
But I also like what you said about that first book you read. I have to remember this. Be a front seater. Be a front
seater. Be a front
I like
seater.
That.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Be a front seater. Sit up front. You know, when I go into a seminar, it's like I'm there to learn something. I don't want to look at the back of somebody's head. And even though they got to look at the back of my head now, which is barely thinning out a little bit, I still sit up front, you know. And because you're going to learn something. And if you're there, if you're going to a seminar, what I find, if you go to these places, you be a front seater, you're going to pick up one nugget. If you spend 3 days in a seminar learning something, whether it's how to write a book, how to become a best author, how to flip houses, or how to do real estate, you're going to learn one thing. In fact, I'll tell you a real quick story on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a seminar, and they were talking about – I went to a real estate seminar, and I actually went to a motivational seminar at the Inner Harbor, and they were selling the $50 or something to go to a hotel for 3 days. And it's all basically on an upsell and training and so on, but you know what you're going there for. But I always know I can pick up a little something. And the gentleman said, what is the difference between investing in a single house or a 25-unit apartment building? And everybody's guessing what they thought. He said, the reality is it's all the same. It's just sticks and bricks. The only difference is zeros behind it. And it made me really think about that. And within 4 months of that date, I entered into a contract and I bought a 25-unit apartment building in West Virginia. And so I learned some things on that one, too. But everything is a school for me. I don't look at – someone posted on Facebook the other day about how they lost $25,000 in trying to learn from the real estate seminars and so on. And I don't look at it that way. I look at every experience, you know, for every adversity comes with it the seed of a greater equivalent benefit. If you take those lessons, then you'll profit. If you don't, then I always say you're an idiot. And that's speaking in the mirror.
Right. Yeah. That's great advice. That's pretty awesome. So you're still doing real estate to this day. You still do the real estate contracting.
Still doing the contracting, although I'm merging a little bit more out of that because one of the things people need to realize, you'll see a lot of the gurus telling you can flip houses and then you can do it from the beach and kick back and smoke a cigar on your lounge chair. It doesn't work that way. The reality is somebody has to pay the bills while you're flipping that house. You have to have some cash flow coming. So I've still maintained the contracting business so I could bring in the cash flow while flipping a house. And what I found is it's a little distracting because it's so involved in doing contracting on a retail or a customer base that I'm in the process of doing more. I'm actually going to school next month to get my home inspection license so I can focus on that, which doesn't take as much energy and as much focus, which allows me the freedom to be able to flip houses. And like you mentioned earlier, we're in the process of trying to establish a training program where I can teach people, like they'll say, is it really
possible to buy a house, fix it up, sell it, make a profit, and not put a dime in your own money. And mm-hmm. I'm not one of these big, giant, famous guys that you might think, well, is he telling the truth? The reality is, yes, it is. I just did one for $245,000, made money on it, and I flipped it, and I didn't put one penny in it. So the return on investment or the ROI is infinity because you're not putting any cash in, but you've got to have a little bit of skills or so on. So those are some of the things that I'm looking to do as far as the real estate end, is to really get more into training people how to do what I do, because I've taken 35 years of learning this, and I have a wealth of information that I can impart to other people that really want to be able to do it and are serious about it.
Wow. Well, you know what? We're going to, towards the end, I will make sure you put your information out there so people can contact you they can contact you directly. Now, Don, you tell me this. I see we have a caller actually sitting and waiting patiently. And so it's up to you. We can take the call and see, you know, what's on the caller's mind. It's because they probably mm-hmm. would like to talk to you, or we can continue, because after we talk to the caller, I want to get into your books and things like that. So let's see who we have. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who am I speaking with? Hello? 831 area code. Oh, are you there? Okay, they're not. Okay, well, nope, they're not saying anything, so we're just going to keep it rolling.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get into talking about your books. Now, you have actually two books coming out. Let's talk about the first one.
Okay.
Give us the title and when are you expecting it to be published?
Okay. The first book is actually, I'm a co-author. This is an awesome opportunity that I came across. It's called Ready, Set, Go. And mm-hmm. the famous author that most people are going to know is, his name's Brian Tracy. And Brian mm-hmm. Tracy is probably one of the most foremost thought leaders on the planet. He's had over 35 best-selling books. The guy commands huge numbers for his speaking and training. And it's primarily leadership, entrepreneurship, and so on. And I had an opportunity that they hooked up with a celebrity branding agency and decided they were going to allow people like myself who want to be writers to be part of a book that where we can take those experiences that we've had over the years. And it's basically the world's leaders and entrepreneurs and professionals. They reveal their tips when setting yourself up for success. And that's basically the tagline
awesome.
Of the book. So that book, mm-hmm. this is a great opportunity, because when this book, they guarantee that this book will be a bestseller. When Brian writes something, I've been following his work since I was 20 years old. And usually when they introduce a book in his name, they'll introduce it in 10 different languages, because they know automatically those people like myself who have been following his work for 30 more or more years will buy his product, and it literally will become a bestseller the first week out. So once this happens, my name will be on the book. I opted for a personal cover, myself and Brian on the front cover, and it basically puts me in the category of a best-selling author. And for those who are listening and are interested in writing a book, this is a great way to do it. And I was actually kind of very fortunate that I stumbled onto this opportunity. A friend of mine had written a couple books, and I asked him, I said, well, I see you're using this particular publishing company. You know, what is your split? And he said, 90-10. Of course, I'm a glass half full guy. And I said, you get 90%? He said, no, I get 10. I was like, what? You're giving your work product? Like, it wasn't even about money. It was more about controlling your own work product. I couldn't believe it. Well, there's no way I'm going to go that route. You know, so I started looking for some ways of self-publishing, and then I came across this opportunity with Brian Tracy. So that book is due out sometime in the fall, and the beautiful thing about this, I'm so excited about it, is when the book comes out, the best-selling authors, all those authors that are part of this book, it's a compilation of entrepreneurs from all different walks of life, all over the world, that are part of this book. I think there's like 29 of us. And so it makes up the entire book. But in January, they have the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors. So I and my wife have a seat at the table at the Black Tie Affair for 2 days. And all the thought leaders, such as Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, you know, Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Souls, they'll all be there, and it's going to be an awesome time to really be able to meet these authors. It's going to be fantastic. So I'm so excited about this book and being part of it, and
It has been a project. I mean, just one chapter. It's amazing that what goes into writing. And I want to shout out to my wife Darlene and my daughter, son-in-law, son, all those in my family who are really they're academic diehards, and they will not allow me to have one punctuation wrong or one misspelled word. They've done a fantastic job to keep me on path. So I'm just so thankful and blessed to have them to help me with that. So that's the first book.
Wow, that's amazing. Now tell us about, because this book came after your personal book. Am I right?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking this for a reason. I'm going somewhere with this. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, Tragedy's Gift is a book that has been in my heart and my mind for, since the beginning, because I did so well when I had my surgery. And I did so well with it. In fact, there was people at the hospital that they had them rolled up in a wheelchair so that I can encourage them to realize that life's going to go on. This is not a big deal. Let's just suck it up. Let's get on with our lives. And I've always known that I've just had this energy and this vitality about me to accept life for what it is, learn from it, grow from it, that I've always wanted to really spread that word that you can live a great life no matter what the tragic things in your life. And there are many that I couldn't even hardly relate to that are much worse than what I dealt with. But that there are gifts that within everything that we face in our lives, there are things that we can be thankful for and use as a stepping stool to move us upward and onward and out of that despair and out of that mindset. And so Tragedy's Gift was a result of that thinking. And I started writing it about 2 years ago. It's quite a journey. And I remember I talked about it for years. And this is probably one of the most important lessons that the listeners may come to tonight, is that until you take action, nothing takes place. And I'll never forget, man, it just – when I spent nearly 2 years writing the book, and I got to tell you, when I hit that last period – when that book was done, it was an emotional experience. I was like, wow, this is just all my heart, blood, soul, and everything went into this book, and I finished it. Now, it's my first book and the first time I ever tried it, so certainly there are a large learning curves on a lot of things on how to write it and how to get it published. Yeah. Now, and of course, you've been through it yourself with your book. And so I'm in the process of trying to – I've got it finished. I put it with an editor. The first editor came back and basically just really ripped me apart, and which I thought was a good thing. Probably a little harder on me than she should have been. But I submitted it to a second editor, and they were like, I don't know what that person's problem was. I love the book. So it's interesting how we have different perspectives. So one is just to you have to take action. You have to start typing, and you just have to – somebody said that I forget who it was. It was Hemingway. The way to learn to write is to write and write and write and write and write and write and write.
Yep.
And that's what I've been doing. And I've really found a passion for it. It's almost more than a passion than speaking in public. But they go together, but I really have been found a passion for writing.
Yeah. And you know, I like what you said, until you take action, nothing takes place. I remember when you started the process, actually. And the reason I wanted you to talk about your first book, because if you hadn't started your first book, you wouldn't be in this next book.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? If you didn't go out and step out on that limb and take that first step towards what was in your heart, there wouldn't have been any Brian Tracy.
That came
about because you took that first step and you took action. And now the ball is rolling and there's no stopping it. It's the only way it's going to stop is if you stop.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to make that point and make that known to the listeners. You know, this is how it happens. You know, one of my favorite quotes by Dr. Martin Luther King was, you don't need to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. And once you take that first step, then you're opening the door for so many wonderful things to happen to you. And you're the perfect example of that. So tell us about that one. Now, I can't wait for this one. I'm looking forward for this one, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm looking forward to – I love to hear everything that you're doing. I'm always supporting you, behind you, ready to cheer you on and go, Don, go, and just go and get it. But this book for me, the one that you wrote specifically that came from your heart, I'm interested in that because it came from you. okay? This is the one mm-hmm. that got you started. This is the one that's been with you for a long time, and you finally had a chance to sit down and get it out. I can't wait to read that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. Yeah, and it is a special thing. And I think, I guess, it's like your first baby, you know, you're really, you know, I enjoyed writing it and, you know, just trying to refine it. It's just so much of me in there. And I just really, you know, when I set out to write this book, it was not about how much money I can make if I become a best-selling author. It really mm-hmm. was, you know, how can I help someone to really realize the gifts within a tragic situation, because all of us have faced something really bad that happened. And it's just like
Absolutely.
I often will say about the timing. You know, if this colon situation would have happened to me back in the 40s, chances mm-hmm. are good I would have died as a result of that. And then, of mm-hmm. course, you know, you've got doctors that spend half their lives learning the skills and the knowledge to save us for the rest of their lives. You know, look at all they do, the schooling they go to and the sacrifices and so on. And it's just like even the caretakers. I remember when I was in the hospital, the nurses and the orderlies and all the people that took care of me, I was just so – even in that moment, I was just so thankful that there were people there that have hearts that give them themselves like that. I mean, some of the things that those nurses were able to do, I don't know that I could have done that. There's a special place for people like that, and they're just wonderful, wonderful guests, you know. And just my family and the gift of your loved ones, there's so much. And I talk about every one of those things that I found that helped me to rise above my tragic situation. And so thankful. And, of course, among all of that, the most important thing is God in our lives, because without him, these bodies wouldn't heal, you know. And without him, we wouldn't be here anyway. And so that really is the center of where it all began. So, I'm excited about this book. And it looks as if we're going to my goal was to have it out by October, but I think given that we're doing some more editing on it and refining it, it may be around the first of the year.
Yeah, and that's fine, because what I found, too, with my first one is that, you know, you want to set a time for yourself. You know, you want to have a goal to shoot for. But at the same time, there's no need to rush it. Especially since you're self-publishing it, because you want your first book to be, you know, like just good. You just want to make sure that you take mm-hmm. the time with it, because it is your baby. So whenever you get it out, it's going to be the perfect time. And so I wanted to share with the listeners the first five people that send an email to info@yourdestinyawaits.net. That's info@yourdestinyawaits.net. Send an email that you tuned into this show today, and Don is going to send you an autographed copy of his book to the first five people, okay? So we'll get you, and in the email, make sure you know your name and your address so we know where to send the book. But the first five people, info@yourdestinyawaits.net, and you'll get a free copy of this bestseller that's about to come out. And guess what? I'm claiming that this one is going to be a bestseller as well. How about that?
I love that. That would be wonderful.
Now, Don, you also do motivational speaking. And, you know, as you were talking to me, again, one of the things that about your story, about your journey, that just resonates with me so much is how much you've overcome. And I want to go back to that part, because so many people are suffering today. And in the climate of where the world is at this particular moment, people need to be motivated and uplifted and inspired. And I know so many people who are depressed and just down, and they feel unworthy, and they just don't see any hope and all that stuff. And hearing your story is a story of a person who literally was on death's door.
Yes,
and you chose to come back, and now you are just doing so much with your life. I mean, and here's another thing, too, as I'm saying this. We can be good at more than one thing. We can have more than one gift. you know, there was a time, I guess, you know, we're around the same age, and we grew up in a time where, you know, we were told that you get that government job and you just get that one thing and you stick with that 9 to 5 where you get those benefits,
right,
and yada, 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 right? So, no,
right,
we're at a time now where there's so many things. We have so many different things that we're good at, you know, so why not go out and just try them all? So for you, you know, tell the listeners, like, for you, how has that been for you? Because you do a lot of different things, and some of them you may be very successful, some you may just be successful, and some, you know, you may not have succeeded at all. So let's talk about
exactly
that a little bit.
I think that what you really need to do is be willing to fail faster and fail more. There
yes
are many things that I've done in my life that I failed at, and but every
mm-hmm
time I fail at something, even with flipping houses, if I do a house and you know, you lose money on one, if you learn from that, you fail your way forward. We don't success our way forward, and I've tried a lot of things, and I always oftentimes that's to my detriment, because I say in the chapter I did on the book is like, you know, entrepreneurs are like herding cats. We have so many things that we're good at,
mm-hmm,
and or talented at, or have some skills at. It's trying to focus on something that, you know, one at a time. And in fact, one of the challenges with me was, okay, I want to do more public speaking and motivational speaking, but because I speak on a lot of different things, whether it's overcoming, like diabetes. I mean, the doctor told me that I had diabetes. I immediately said, you mean pre-diabetic? He said, no, you're diabetic. And I'm like, well, look, give me 90 days and I'll fix this. He said, you can't cure it. I said, well, I can control it. Within 45 days, I had lost 20 pounds, and my numbers were right around 95, and my A1C went down from 7.4 to 6. And the doctor was like, you know, you're one of the most disciplined men I know. Keep doing what you're doing. You don't need the drugs. You don't need the pills. And that was 10 years ago, and I've never taken a pill, never taken a drug, and my A1C stays almost normal. But
mm-hmm,
I like to say, which is really most likely going to be the title of my next book, is not by accident. These things don't happen by accident. You have to press yourself
mm-hmm
into the formless and make it a 3D reality. And
yeah,
so when I look at all these different opportunities, you have to just basically pick something you like, pick what you want to do and how you want to change your life. And it's almost like, I went to a workshop recently on communication strategy by a guy named Bob Papp, really great guy, local guy, and
mm-hmm,
he said something in his workshop. He said, you know, I had to reinvent myself, and for quite some time, I kept thinking to myself, a lot of the speakers have their stick. One might speak on, I don't know, like Tony Robbins, just Awaken the Giant Within, of course, Brian Tracy's Entrepreneur Leadership,
mm-hmm,
John Maxwell, guys like that. So I followed a lot of their stuff, and I thought, you know, what is going to be my thing? You know, because I seemed like I was a little scatterbrained, because I was talking about living well with diabetes, 50, fitness after 50, you know, marriage success. My wife and I've been married 37 years, and I tell
mm-hmm
again, not by accident. These are things that don't come by just showing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized when he was talking about reinvent, I said, that's it. You know, everything that you want to do and be successful at, you've got to reinvent who you are. You've got to take the
yeah
person that you are now, take inventory of yourself and say, you know, I've got to develop some different habits. I've got to move in a different direction, do some things differently and not do things differently. And
right,
I think that's really what delivers success. And in a lot, like you said, you can have a lot of talent in a lot of areas, but pick one at a time and then move in that direction and redevelop some habits and just really press yourself into that, and it will turn into a reality. I mean, this book with Brian Tracy, like you mentioned earlier, it as a result of the first book, taking the first step, you know, like you said,
yeah,
Dr. Martin Luther King, you take the first step, you're going to get to the top of the stairs.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And you've been married for 37 years. Congratulations. Because
yeah,
that
I
right
met my
there,
wife,
woo!
Well, in today's world, Donnie and I met in church. As a matter of fact, she was the piano player, and I was the guitar player, and I like to tease and tell her it was that velvet jacket I had with the silver sequences coming down. It really turned her
oh,
on.
No.
You know?
Oh, my
but,
gosh.
So we've been together as far as friends from the time I met her when she was 11 and I was 12, and then when we were 19, both of us were 19, we got married. And 37 years. Yeah, in fact, we're just starting a marriage ministry in our church, starting in October. So we're just
wow
taking some of those lessons that we've learned, and maybe help other people to experience a healthy marriage
that
as well.
Yes, that's amazing. And I look at, when I listen, you know, listen to you and I look at your life, I know for a fact that you are on purpose. I talk about purpose a lot in a lot of my broadcasts and, you know, when I go out and speak. And you are one of those people that are definitely on purpose. You are using your life to help others. Everything you do, you're doing something to help someone else, and you are one of the most selfless, you know, people that I know. You know, you just give of yourself all of the time, and I see, you know, that's one of the reasons to me, you know, there's a law of reciprocity, and you are perfect.
Yeah.
You're the perfect example for that, because whatever you put out comes back to you.
Yes, it does.
And you put out so much, and that's why so much is coming back. And this new book that you're doing with Brian Tracy, I am so excited for you, because that right there, woo! Just don't forget me, okay? Don't forget the little people.
That's right. I remember where we started from.
On the way to the top.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, So just, you know, we're coming to, you know, towards the end, and I just wanted you, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners? Because this is your show. So, and also contact information. We want to make sure that we get the contact information out there.
Okay. The only thing, just to kind of reiterate what you said about giving, you know, I was to speak at a Toastmaster program one day, and I couldn't sleep, and I went downstairs about 4 a.m. and I started typing on the computer, and I thought to myself, you know, Don, if you lived to be 100 years old, what would it matter that you went through this journey? What would it matter that you were even here? You know, and I start really reflecting on some of those things, start typing things, just thoughts that kept coming to my mind. And when I was speaking, I was preparing the speech. It's funny because sometimes the last minute, because I like to speak from my heart more so than just preparing something on a piece of paper, more of a bullet points. And I had those 14 bullet points in front of me, and as I was giving the presentation, it dawned on me that every single one of those items that I've written down had to do with giving, whether it was giving of myself, giving of my talents, giving of my things. And then my wife and I both, we've always been givers, and we love to help people, and I'm just blessed that happens. And just like the Bible talks about, it'd be pressed down, shaken over, running over,
Repeating
that 1,000 times. So we've been very blessed with that, you know, so we really feel very blessed. I know we'll drive down to we'll pull into the driveway of the farm. Our driveway is 2/10 of a mile long, and we'll just shut the car off and roll the windows down and just be silent and listen to just God speak in nature and just being around. It's just so wonderful, and we're so blessed, and we're just so thankful that we are where we are.
Oh, that's wonderful, Don. Well, I know that you have, this is not the end, so you have so much more life to live and so many, you know, ways to do it. And I'm just glad that I'm in your life, because I want to be, you know, kept abreast of all of the great things that you're going to be doing that God has for you. And that's another thing I don't think I mentioned. Maybe I did in your bio just a bit, but you also play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
At your church, and you do have a love of God in your heart. And I think that right there is, you know, that makes a big difference as well.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's get the contact information out there. Now, if you tell them what you, as far as, you know, you contact on, if you're interested in real estate, in the real estate business, what would you like to, you know, for them to reach you for?
Yeah, I mean, if someone is looking to have someone speak, they can contact me. If they're looking to have someone mentor, train them in real estate, I also do partnerships with other people. I also open myself up to investors that say, look, I don't want to be in the day-to-day grind, but I would like to see my money grow at a much greater rate than some money market. We also, because I use investors for my properties. And so that, motivational speaking, and really just encouragement, if they want to write me, they're welcome to do that. And, of course, our book's coming out, and, you know, we're basically, one of the things I might want to just put out there,
We're basically in the process of setting up a, and again, all this is just kind of like evolving. You know, this whole dream is just over the last several months has become, we're going to be doing a site on YouTube and or Facebook and LinkedIn and different sites called Porch Coffee with Don. Every day I'm going to be sitting on my front porch and just kind of talking for just 60 seconds, just a thought for the day, encouragement for the day. And that's going to be coming out soon. So they might want to write so they can get on the list for that. But as far as getting a hold of me, they can contact me at contact@donlawrencejr.com. And that's my email, contact@donlawrencejr.com. And the website is in, it's under construction. Like I say, all this is really beginning to evolve as I begin to move closer to the book things and so on. And that, that is the same, donlawrencejr.com is the website, which again, it's under construction. But if they want to contact me at contact@donlawrencejr.com, you know, they're welcome to shoot me an email.
That is amazing. Yes, and I know the website will be up soon, so that's amazing. And I just want to repeat that if you're looking for any kind of positive, you know, motivation, whether it's in real estate, motivational speaking, writing a book now, investments, Don is your person. Contact him at contact@DonLawrenceJr.com. That's contact@DonLawrenceJr.com. Wow. Okay, so the book with Brian Ready, Set, Go, Brian Tracy, is coming out,
ready,
you
set,
said,
go.
Fall of this year, right?
Yeah, they expect October and November.
October and November,
yep.
So we're looking forward to that as well. Well, Don Lawrence, you know, we just want to thank you so much for coming back and sharing with us, and let's not make it another 5 years. I don't want to wait that long.
Sounds great.
Because,
well, hopefully maybe we'll come back in January when the book's released and we can talk about it. That'd be great.
Yes, that would be amazing. Now, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to hold you to that. How about that?
Yeah, that you hold my feet to the fire, make sure I get this thing done.
I will.
I know you will.
So, Don, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. And we wish you all the success in the world with everything that you are doing.
All right. And thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I really appreciate it. And God bless you. And I wish you luck and further success in what you're already doing. You're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you so much, Don. We'll be talking soon.
Okay. You guys have a great evening.
You too, sweetie. Take care. Well, that concludes our show for this evening. Oh, my goodness. Don Lawrence, ladies and gentlemen, let's just give him another round of applause, because this man, again, you know, he's a man of God, and he, you know, walks his talk. You don't find too many people that walk their talk. He's one of those that walks his talk. And when he says to reach out to him, he really means that. He's not one of those people that says, oh, you can contact me and then you'll never hear from them. No, he means what he says. So if you're interested in even wanting to know how to start a business, give him, you know, contact him. And again, his contact is contact@DonLawrenceJr.com. So that concludes our show for this evening. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. A shout out to my family who are always loving and supporting me, and also to my friends and colleagues in all of my social networking sites. Once again, a big thank you to Don Lawrence for taking the time to share a big part of your journey and your wisdom with us. We are eternally grateful for you, because we know that knowledge is power, and when we know better, we do better. Also, don't forget to stop by my website, yourdestinyawaits.net, to get some extra motivation and inspiration, and leave a message to let us know you stopped by. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/adatewithdestiny101. And you can also follow us on Twitter at least101. That's LYSE 101. So make sure you come back and tune in on Monday, August the 28th, when we will be talking with the legendary R&B icon, Miss Angela Bofield. We are going to be going back down memory lane with Angela, so you won't want to miss that. I'm so excited about that show. So your mission, ladies and gentlemen, is your mission, if you choose to accept it, that is, take the necessary time to do a true self-evaluation. Seek God and learn how to love yourself first, because after all, you owe it to yourself to know yourself. Once again, I'm Lisa M. Saunders, and thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny.